5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, welcome one and all to the new Panic Room episode 58. It is Thursday and it is 9:30 Central. I don't know what it is anywhere else because I haven't figured all that out yet. But if you're there, then you'll know what time it is. So that kind of works out for me. We got a show. I've missed her so much this past week. I'm going to bring her straight on. It's me old mate and mucker, ex-Dina. How are you this evening, my dear?
I am wonderful, thank you. I'm really
well,
wonderful.
Well, we know you're wonderful. We know you're wonderful. So, hey, yeah, well, this is the show that very nearly didn't happen. Anybody who doesn't know where I'm not from here, but anybody who doesn't know where I live, who's listening, I actually live in Houston. Been battered to hell and back by Hurricane Harvey for the past week. Thankfully, it's sort of dying down now, although the aftermath goes on. So anybody who's from the area, big shout out, and hey, hope you manage to stay dry. It was obviously for a little Brit like me. I mean, the most we get is we get a bit of rain every now and then and whatnot, but nothing. We know hurricanes and tornado warnings and all the rest of it, and bands of tornado. I mean, it's just been, probably the scariest thing that I've been through in all my years. So
I lived in Texas for a little while when I was younger, and I remember one night of a bunch of tornadoes went through the town. But that was just one night, So
yeah.
You guys.
We had Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, we had tornado warnings literally going off every hour all through the night. There were literally bands of tornadoes, you know, and they were just touching down here, there, and everywhere. And one actually went past not far from here. And it's just so, because knowing, I mean, you know the drill, getting to a spot in the habit. If a tornado hits your house, you're fucked, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I'm here, you know, me and with the children, you know, and, you know, we had a plan. If the water starts coming in, we just grab what we can, head upstairs. We could have hunkered down upstairs for as long as it didn't start flooding upstairs, you know. So we had a plan, but it just knowing, you know, trying to sleep, knowing, you know, that's in the back of your mind is just horrible. And we, you know, I know a lot of people who were evacuated, who were flooded out, whose homes have been destroyed. You know, and it seems we must be on a bit of high ground here. We had some flooding, but subdivisions literally either side were underwater. You know, and, you know, there were people, there's a guy I know, literally two subdivisions down, a guy I know, I actually used to do his website. I actually wrote his website for him years ago. And he literally only just got back to his house, and it must have been 4 or 5 foot in his house, and it's just...
Whoa.
And it's just... And we had the tax day floods last year. There's a lot of people in those same subdivisions who pretty much have only just got straight from that, and of course they're ripping all the floors up again. And so, yeah, all in all, but I think, you know, being with, you know, with small children, well, one small child and one not so small child, you know, with the responsibility of the kids and keeping them safe, it's just, it's taking its toll off. I'm mentally exhausted. And I think, as we were talking, you know, off air, you know, I think what's really, really got my goat is the outpouring of negativity, mostly from people not even affected by the hurricane.
I don't understand,
you know,
that. Yeah, I've seen,
you know,
few...
and for everything that I've said about, you know, Donald Trump, you know, we've had our digs at him, and as a president, I don't really rate him. You know, he came, he turned up, and people, oh, he said this and he said that, and his wife had heels on. So fucking what? He came.
Yeah.
No, seriously,
yeah.
They were saying, oh, well, what's she doing wearing heels? Well, so fucking what? You know.
Yeah,
they came,
cares?
He's put his hand in his pocket, he's dished $1 million out to the relief fund, and he came and he rallied the troops, and, you know, good on him, you know, he made an effort, that was great. You know, and there's all this outpouring of negativity, and, I mean, so I had somebody trolling me on Facebook, because...
Seriously.
I mean, one, because I made some sort of, you know, witty comment about Trump, you know, and he jumped all in my business, and he was, you know, why aren't you helping people, and why weren't you out? And he actually went onto my profile, and he actually did a screenshot of, it was actually on the Saturday? Was it the Friday? No, it was on the Friday, because we were sat hunkered down. No, it was a Saturday. It was really, really bad. I thought, well, while the power's on, I'll do some work. There's nothing else we could do, you know. And I was playing around with website stuff and actually posting stuff to see how, you know, just to check out how things were posting. And he picked on that. And then he picked on another one I'd posted, you know. I said, well, instead of, you know, being on Facebook, you should be out helping. But well, hang on a minute. What? In the middle of a degree 4 hurricane, I should leave my children at home and go out in it to help people?
Yeah.
Well, no. In the end, and it's not often I block people, but that piece of shit, and if you're listening, piece of shit, I will find you, as Liam Neeson said, and I will fucking kill you. I mean, what an absolute nasty piece of shit, you know. And
there
I just,
are, and they seem to come out when bad
yes,
things
they
are
do.
Happening. Yeah,
yeah,
they come out and just... you their hatred and
and
it's
funny
because,
funnily enough
yeah.
he was one of these he was one of the and the they are getting a lot of derision at the moment, saying, you know, well, where was President Obama when Katrina hit, and he wasn't there, and well, okay, he wasn't president for another 3 or 4 years after Katrina. Sad sack of fucking scum, you know. And it's just and they're all out, and there's people in, you know, protesting and trying to block rescue workers and that. Just seriously, go home and die, people.
Yeah.
And if any
of
those people who were doing that today are listening, just die. Just, you know, curl up in a small ball and die. Okay? I'm sending those vibes. Die. No, I mean, you know, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it brings out all the people who self-aggrandize and try to twist it to their own agenda. At the end of that, one of the things I have seen is brought certainly the people of Houston and the surrounding areas. I mean, they sent people from Louisiana. It's brought people together, you know? Except the looters who are, you know. there was a debate today, actually, on Facebook that I did join. You know, people out, you know, looting flooded stores for food to feed the families and that. I can find, yeah? But nobody needs a new flat-screen TV in the aftermath of a bit of major hurricane, to be honest. And there's people doing that, and that's just bad. You know, if you're out to feed your family, you know, so it's been a hell of a night. It'll probably turn up in a book of mine at some point very soon, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, try to turn it into something positive, having gone through the experience, you know, but yeah. Yeah, but anyhow, so that was my eventful week. How have you been?
I've been good. It's been very non-eventful here, and I think I said something to you earlier about, you know, it rained and my feet got wet, and then you sent me a picture of your son, and his feet were really wet. So I
all the way up to his thighs. Yeah,
yeah.
He had to go and put some shorter shorts on.
My week has just been a week, and it's been kind of nice and quiet, so I can't complain about anything. I've been doing a lot of reading, which yay on me, because for the longest time I could not get through a book at all.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be starting PED soon. Now that I can read it on my Kindle, and that's a sorry excuse, but it's a real excuse, and I couldn't defile the paperback that you sent me. I couldn't. I know.
Well, I do have a copy of Tenebrion actually here and signed and in an envelope, but
Yay! We're
in no delivery zone, so no. As soon as the floods people through, then as soon as you USPS are working again, I shall get that off to you. So, but at the moment, nothing's in, nothing's coming in, nothing's going out. So did you sign it?
You know, thanks for a good time, because I'm going to make that my thing now. I want everybody to sign my books. Thanks for a good time.
No, I didn't, but I can always open the envelope and put a snapshot of my penis in it if that really makes your day. But I mean, although to be fair, I probably need a bigger envelope. So
nice.
So hey. Have we got a show tonight?
You've
organised all this. I've been busy dodging tornadoes. So what have we got? What have we got going on tonight, Xtina?
We have Damian J. Clark as our first guest. Woo! And I want to thank
him
for agreeing to come on short notice, because we had a cancellation.
Who cancelled?
I don't remember.
Names.
I'm
looking forward to speaking with Damian. He is a paranormal erotica author. That is just paranormal erotica. That is just awesome.
Yeah, right.
I'm
looking forward to that.
That sounds brilliant. it's there. It covers a lot of bases. I like that.
Yeah.
And who else? We've got Greg Barth as well, who's crime fiction, which is great.
Yeah.
So Greg and I have corresponded by email in the past, so I'm really looking forward to getting to chat with him. I presume we have Becky the reviewer waiting in the wings as well.
We do, yes, we do.
We do. That is great. So I tell you what we're going to do is what we're going to do. Let's get Damian on. Damian, are you there, sir?
I am. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you okay. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, and I was just listening to the intro there, and funny story, if we have time for me to tell one real quick.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so I was in Dallas, Texas all last week for training for work. And I happened to get out of there on Friday before Harvey had really started to make landfall, which I was grateful for because I wasn't sure how far north he was coming.
Uh-huh.
And spent the weekend at home. Well, I just got a run from where I live in Springfield, Missouri, to Birmingham, Alabama. I drive a truck for a living. And the remnants of Harvey are basically terrorizing Memphis, Tennessee, all the way east to Birmingham. So I've actually been driving through Harvey all night.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I was grateful to get away from him down in Texas and wound up having to play with him today.
He just followed you.
He did. And another funny thing, this morning I was listening to the news. Donald Trump was in Springfield, Missouri yesterday.
Oh, right.
And, irony of certain things. So I guess the motorcade was going down the street where the Bass Pro Shop, I deliver freight for Bass Pro Shop, where their warehouse is. A young lady was leaving work just as the motorcade was coming down that street, and her brakes failed on her car, and she almost ran into the president's motorcade yesterday. I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. I'm like, I wonder how she was feeling after the Secret Service dealt with her trying to run into the president.
I can imagine. She's probably still in jail.
Oh, God.
Well, they did say on the news that they found out that her brakes had failed and that it was not her fault. So, I mean, she's good. She's nice and clear. I just thought, wow, that's just kind of funny to be someone just leaving work, you know, random, and boom, almost slam into the president of the United States. That's just
wow.
That'd be the highlight of my life. I don't know.
That is literally the wrong place at the wrong time, isn't it?
It definitely is. Definitely is.
Great story for the grandkids.
So this is my first time on a podcast live. I want to thank you guys for having me. And Xtina, thanks for giving me that message. I'm sorry I happen to also be driving at the moment we're doing this, so I couldn't do everything I was asked, but I'm still glad you had me on the show.
Me too.
I mean, Xtina being Xtina literally told me, I think, an hour before we came on air, oh, by the way, you're reading Damien's reading. So thanks for that. Thanks for giving me time to prepare. That was great.
Well,
I'm looking for, and it's rude as well. It's rude.
You will do a lovely job. You will. And I am embarrassed about that show a couple weeks ago we had where we did that like interactive reading thing. I should have really read over that a little bit, but I had no clue. I just thought I might have like a line or something, but I had like almost every line, and
you had the biggest part. You had the biggest part, and you were dreadful.
I did.
You really were.
And I had no idea. It was awful. I can always blame wine, though. That's what
you
I'm going to blame.
You can. Well, you hadn't had enough of it. I think that was your problem. So, Damien, you're going to chat to us about your book. I did what? Is that the title? Yeah.
That is the title. Yes,
that's
I did
a great
what. I have to say, you pretty much got to read through the whole book to understand it. But I guess that's the point of a book, is to read the whole thing.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, if you can get the whole thing in the first couple of pages, it's, you know. But no, that's if it draws people in, that's great. I mean, the tagline is brilliant. I'm going to read the tagline. So, ever have one of those oh shit moments that comes with the realization you got into something you are not even remotely capable of dealing with? You have? Yeah, well, check this shit out. And it all started with a simple phone interview. So, tell us more about it.
Well, the story basically just follows a doctor who is moving to a new city and a new job. He's a medical doctor, and he's also a psychologist. But he's also into the BDSM scene as a dominant. And basically uses his medical and psychological training to just make it that much better for the people he plays with.
Oh, my
and
awesome.
The phone interview is basically something that a lot of dungeons do in the big cities, you know, the big clubs that actually host BDSM parties, is they do background checks and they'll do interviews with people to make sure that they're not bringing some psycho into their club to, you know, because I'm afraid we do play kind of harshly in some of those clubs, and you don't want someone in there that is, you know, dangerous. So And that's where the story starts. And as you'll find when you actually read the first part of that chapter one, I don't delay on getting into it. And he's actually in the middle of a play date. But
well, I've read ahead. I mean, yes, you do get straight into it, literally, which is brilliant. I like that.
I had someone a couple of years ago when I started writing my first book tell me that if you can't get their attention in the first 300 to words,
that's
you're
true.
Not going to keep their attention.
It's the five-page rule, you know, within three to five pages. It's like a movie, you know. I mean, the first 5 minutes of the movie, you know, that has to grab you. If it doesn't, then, no, you know, you ain't going to work. And like you say, I follow that rule myself, you know. I always like a prologue, you know. You know, the first two pages has to be grabbed. And this is, obviously, I'm reading ahead now. This very grabby. I'm loving it. I mean, what you said about the anybody who's listened to the show before, and I mean, back in England, we ran a company that dealt with the adult industry. One of the things we used to do was organise dungeon trips dungeon experiences for people. And I mean, yeah, we worked. The interview is very, very important. I mean, it was a great dungeon in an old country house not far, just outside Leeds, and they used to do a physical interview before you could even go, but you could actually go, you could stay the night and all the rest of it, and it was not just to keep the nutters out. It was for those people who were not quite prepared, you know. They maybe they did a little bit of spanking with the husband and wife at home, and that was that, you know. And this was it, like, you know, as you were saying, it was hardcore stuff. You know, and what you don't want is somebody expecting a little bit of chastisement and a light spanking, suddenly strapped to an antique dentist chair with a dominatrix approaching them with your speculum and electro-stim and all the rest of it. You know, it's like, so it works both ways,
but
they need to find limits, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Since my journey into that particular area of life, it's been eye-opening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. And it never ceased to amaze us, you know, just what would float people's boats. You know, there was no, certainly in this arena, you know, there's very few limits. And yet, you know, they are some of the nicest people, the nicest, most grounded people that you could ever want to meet. Now, we loved dealing with these people because they were straight, they were honest, they were, you know, you got what you got, you know, what you see is what you get. Brilliant people.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. I looked into a lot of the research psychologically, and apparently people who are into really kinky sex are also a lot happier in life. It's an odd correlation.
Well, because they're not dealing with a lot of suppression. I mean, you know, they have an outlet. You know, it's not all tied up.
Yeah.
And, if you pardon the pun, it's not all deep, suppressed deep down and wanting to get out. You know, they go for it, which is great. You know, you have to applaud that. So I'm going to have to ask the question, obviously, you know, before we do the reading. As someone who's written something that is, from what I can see, does encapsulate the scene very, very well. What are your thoughts on Fifty Shades of Grey?
I knew you were going to go there.
Yes, you did.
Well,
of course I was going to go
there. I'll tell you what. I think Fifty Shades of Grey I have, in fact, read. In fact, I didn't read it. I listened to the audio books while I was driving. Prior to knowing what the story was actually about, that was an interesting drive, I'll tell you what. I thought, for what it was, as a story, as a romance novel that included, a peek into the BDSM scene, I thought it was a good story. I enjoyed it. After I personally started my journey into BDSM and learned, you know, the ins, the outs, you know, I hear all kinds of people in the scene that just dog on that book, dog on it, dog on it. And I'm like, guys, you know, if you look at the way this is supposed to work, there's no rules. The only rule is everyone is safe, sane, and consensual. That's really the only rule. I'm like, this is the dynamic of the people in this story. Leave it alone. They're having fun. As far as the story goes, I thought it was great. I mean, I really enjoyed the books. I really enjoyed the story involved. You know, I didn't look at it and go, gee, is this feasible? Could this happen in real life? No. I just was like, it's a story. I enjoyed it. I mean, hey, if I was filthy freaking rich, I'd pick up a nice plane, you know, a normal person, because there's no expectations there. You know, it's like, this is, you know, that's what it was. But no, I did enjoy the story. I do. And I do defend it occasionally when I deal with people on Facebook or in the groups that I'm in. I actually admin for several groups on Facebook that are BDSM education groups, and I do go to bat every once in a while with a few people for it, but
yeah, you
comparatively,
know, I read all three books. I'm not a huge fan. I don't bash it quite as much as some people do, but you know, I don't know.
You mean me there, don't you?
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah.
Some people.
I just found the writing just a little immature. I did. Like, I thought it sounded like a younger person was writing. But I mean, that being said, I read all three books. They were, you know, enjoyable enough or whatever. And no, I definitely wasn't one of those people saying, oh, that could never happen or anything like that. That definitely wasn't one of my issues. I will say I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the movie, I think, more than the book, because I loved whatever that chick, Dakota, is that her name? The chick who played Anna.
Yeah.
I thought she was adorable, and I thought she brought a humor to the role that I didn't really pick up on while reading the books, and I thought that was awesome. So what do you think about the movie? Did you like the movie?
Well, I actually have not seen the first one, but I did go to see the second one. And, I mean, I thought the movie, like the books, I thought it's a good story. It was a decent movie. I hate to say, disappointed in the scene.
But
it's a movie, and they only wanted to rate it R, I guess, so there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we're not talking making a movie like Showgirls. They kind of kept it tame.
I didn't see the second one yet, and I guess I'm going to have to do that. I enjoyed the first movie, though. So.
I haven't seen either of them yet. I suppose
no,
I should,
too.
But...
So I'm anxious to hear more about the book. Will you do the honors, James, and do the reading for us?
Yeah, well, okay. Again, I apologize to Damien for the accent. I'm sure this is not quite the internal voice he had when he was writing it. So apologize for
that.
For the Yorkshire pronunciation. So okay, right, here we go. Are we ready?
We are ready.
I'm ready. I'd love to hear it.
Okie doke. Here we go. Right. Chapter 1. Angel. Slap. That's the fifth strike with the flogger, my favorite flogger, that I have used to draw her to orgasm more than once. I so enjoy submissive with hidden masochistic desires. Knowing I would be moving soon, I was iffy about taking her on as a play partner, but everything about her screamed for domination and pleasure. So I said, what the hell? Why not? This is our fifth play date, and I've pushed her just a little harder each time. Slap. Oh, sir, I want to come, please, she moans out. Not yet, Angel. Let it build, I answer her with a smile. My favorite part is to make them beg me to let them orgasm, then beg me to let it stop. 3 nights ago, Angel tapped out after 4 minutes of almost constant orgasms. I took my time getting her there as well. Oh, what a night. Slap, slap, slap. Oh, God, she moans some more. I started with hot wax on her back to get her skin nice and tender. Rubbed her back, ass and pussy down with ice to get those nerves firing. And since the first slap with the flogger, she's been on edge. As I'm about to take the next swing, Shinedown's Cut the Cord starts playing on my work phone. I keep it nearby at all times in case of an emergency at the hospital, but I'm not on call. Oh, yeah, I'm the head of the psychiatric ward with a double... doctorate in medicine and psychology. It makes being a dominant so much fun. Point being, they really shouldn't be calling me, but I have to look. Who the hell from there knows this number, I say out loud, then answer, this is Dr. Fox. Hello, Dr. Fox. This is Helen Troy from Lalani's House of Pleasure. I apologize for calling at the late hour, but your contact information said any time, the woman says, or I would describe it as almost purring. Oh, yes, no apology needed. Is this for the phone interview, I ask? Yes, your background check came back good. And if you have time for a few questions, we can take care of that now. The voice is smooth and warm as honey pouring from a jar. Well, let me untie Angel really quick, I say as I pull the leads to release the slip knots I used to tie Angel's hands and feet. Angel, relax for a few. This is important, and I'll give you a real treat now, I tell her. And the look of disappointment changes to girlish joy. First question. Are you in the middle of a scene with your sub? She asks with a more serious tone. No, play date with someone very aware I'm moving this weekend, I answer. What are you a doctor of? Helen starts the questions. No, medical practice and psychology, I answer. What are you looking for, sir? She continues. I'm to retire in that area, so ideally meeting new people that could turn into something in the future, or at least a lot of good friends, I explain. Ideally a sub or two that wants to experience a shit ton of pleasure and orgasms, and then have what's left of their brains fucked out. So I don't want to say that, I think to myself. We're hosting a birthday bash for one of our long-time members this Saturday. Can you attend? I would love to meet you in person. The honey flows again. There is something in her voice pulling up a nerve, but I crush it. I would enjoy that, Miss Troy. Perhaps we might enjoy some light playtime together, I say. Are you a switch, Doctor? She asks. No, but it never hurts to ask, Mistress Troy, I explain. Her name is on the dungeon's website as the headmistress and dom of the establishment. I've always wanted to dominate a dom. Indeed, I'll let you get back to your plaything, Doctor. We'll see you Saturday, Helen says, and the call disconnects. She didn't let me say goodbye. I look back to Angel. Her eyes are glazed over like she's in a trance. A few snaps of my fingers and she's back. Ready for those orgasms, I ask. Yes, sir, Angel replies. I can't stop the smile spreading across my face again. Oh, I'm going to make her beg me to stop making her come. I take her by the hand and lead her over to my contour chair. It is an amazing piece of furniture that, although sold in regular stores, seems designed for great sex. Shaped like a woman lunging, the positions are endless. I have positioned it against the wall with an outlet on either side for various power toys. I like to employ. I know lots of people prefer cordless these days, but I've learned one valuable lesson. When it's plugged in, it doesn't lose power in the middle of being played with. On your knees, drape your body over the top, a little Angel. I want to play from behind, I instruct her. Yes, sir, Angel answers. She does as instructed. I secure the restraints, which are still on her wrists, to the chains I've attached to the legs of the chair, so she can't go backwards with her body. Then I secure a strap under the chair and over her legs, just above her calves to keep her from moving that way. Basically, she isn't going anywhere until I let her. Although she could get herself out of the leather cuffs and her wrists, I know once the orgasm starts, she won't forgive it. I'm going to stop there if that's all right.
No, it's not all right.
Interesting. Moving on. That was very good. That was awesome.
All I can say is that gets hotter.
Wow.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So when does the paranormal bit start? When, how does that all fit in?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the first book in what's going to be a series. And I'll be honest, it's really not obvious from the beginning. It's obvious at the end, but it's kind of like a mystery. If you're paying attention to the things that the doctor's describing as he's interacting with everybody, you'll catch it. If you're a fan of paranormal, it's fairly easy to catch, but I make it very subtle throughout the whole thing because the doctor doesn't know paranormal stuff even exists yet.
Right.
So how many books are going to be in the series? What have you got planned?
Well, For this particular one, I haven't actually made a plan for a number of books. I'm just going to keep writing on this story as long as I have ideas and somebody's wanting to read it.
Awesome.
I actually write this story. I wrote that entire book, and it's more of a novella than a novel. It's about 30-some-odd thousand words. But I wrote the entire thing, I don't want to say live, but I wrote it and posted it each time I got done with a section on my fan page on Facebook so that I was getting continuous feedback from readers. Basically, I've got around 200 or so people on my fan page that were getting to enjoy that as I wrote it. And it was awesome. It was nice to be able to get immediate feedback. But I held back the very last chapter, so everybody would have to basically, you know, get the book so they could finish it.
Nice.
Oh, private.
But I also,
But I
also wrote it raw. I didn't do any editing while I was posting it. All the editing came after I actually finished. So it's a little raw on the postings and cleaned up later.
Yeah,
all right.
Why I wasn't a member of this fan group here. I need to be a member.
you aren't?
I don't think so. No, I would definitely remember this. No.
Oh, okay. I'll get you added as soon as I'm not driving. I can get back onto Facebook.
So I have a little question about the scene where, you know, I heard something about until she begged me to, you know, make her stop orgasming or something. Is that really a thing? Can you ever have too many orgasms where you're begging to stop? Because if so, I've never been there.
Well, I'll go ahead.
No, I was going to say that. It was funny. I was reading an article just the other day, and I actually made a note of it. So this would make a great character. There is a persistent orgasm syndrome, in which women specifically have literally they can have like an orgasm for an hour or more.
Whoa.
And it's like any time it can be too much. Certainly in this scenario,
wow.
You know, I guess it's part of the play, you know, that they're going to get to a point at some point where, you know, they've had enough, I guess.
Wow.
Well, I think the best way to describe it, I don't know if you're familiar with the show, but I used to watch House a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The TV show House. Loved that show. And one of the younger lady doctor that was on the team throughout most of the show that dated the Australian guy, time I heard her, she was describing an orgasm as basically your body trying to rip itself apart, every muscle in your body simultaneously. And I used to love that description. But one of the things that, you know, depending on who you're talking to, but there's a thing called forced orgasms where it's muscles that are tightening, and eventually at some point those muscles get wore out and you just can't handle anymore. It happens.
Wow. Okay. Well, on that note, because I'm a little warm now, I don't know if I need more wine or what.
Cold shower, I think.
Yeah, that's what I need too. But how about we get to 11 questions? Do you have the cute little
Okay, let's do that. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
11 questions.
And now, 11 questions.
Yeah, you ready, Damien? Here we go. What's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure would be my fiance.
Well, why are you guilty about this? Why are you?
Well, because I basically get to do anything and absolutely everything I want to her, and she lets me.
Oh, I like that. That's a good answer. I didn't know you were engaged, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's see, baked beans, ranch style, or pork and beans?
Neither. I really don't like beans.
We've gotten that answer a few times now, neither. Okay, puppies or kittens?
Puppies.
Good answer. What's your favorite lunch meat?
honey-baked turkey.
Wrong answer. Turkey? Oh, that's got to be the most boring lunch meat there is. I'm not judging you, by
but
the way.
turkey is the highest in protein of all lunch meats.
Ah, okay. At least you have a reason for it. What was your first car?
It was a 1972 Volkswagen Beetle.
Aw. What color was it?
It was sky blue.
Let's see. What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Oh, spiders.
Definitely, definitely. Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
For being scared of? Or
you know,
favorite?
It's whatever. So,
I liked Pinhead.
Oh, gosh. It makes me feel guilty every time somebody says that, just because I've never seen Hellraiser, and James pretty much threatens to never talk to me again until I see.
You should. It's dark, and they're all about guilty pleasure.
Yes, they are. Yeah, it's probably the ultimate BDSM film, I would say.
What?
You know, it's yeah.
What?
Seriously, you should see it. It is about pleasure. Yeah.
I did not know
that. She's going to watch it now. She's going to sell it.
Now I'm thinking. Okay. First draft, handwritten or word processor?
I always use word processor.
Right, yeah. Favorite alcoholic drink?
Rum.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge you too harshly for that, but I'm not really a rum fan, just because I got so sick one time that it was not pretty. It wasn't. And number 11, which I have to tell everybody this, there is no 10, so we say it's number, you know, it's 11 questions, but there is no number 10. James just decided to mess with me for, you know, and I didn't realize it for a whole year that we're just, one of the questions is just gone, and I'm going to forever worry about what it could have been, but it's, you know. Anyway, one interesting non-writing related fact about you.
Interesting non-writing related fact. My first language was Japanese because we were stationed in Okinawa, Japan when I was young and learning to talk.
Oh, that is really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of it. I don't remember any of it now, but my mine and my brother's babysitter was, of course, from Okinawa, Japan, and she didn't speak a word of English. So in order for me to learn how to get anything at daycare, which is where I was most of the time, I had to learn to speak Japanese.
That's really cool, though.
Excellent,
and
yeah.
Here we, our bonus question here, baseball or stamp collection?
One more time?
Baseball or stamp collection?
Never done either, but I would say baseball.
Woo, baseball. That's the right answer, by the way. James will boo it, but that's the right answer.
Boo.
Well, I stamps to me go on envelopes to mail things. Right,
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But at least we didn't have Fruit Fly Corner. That would have been, I think, even worse than stamp collecting, but, you know.
We should,
own,
have that. We should have that. Fruit flies are awesome. Fruit flies are our friends.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Damien. We're just about out of time for our first segment, and it was awesome. Will you promise to come back and see us?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, just holler. I always love doing stuff like this, and I've got 5 books out right now, and I'm in the process of writing 4 more. So,
whoa,
you know, anytime, I'll have lots to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And where can we find you online?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I don't go there often, and I really honestly can't remember my Twitter profile. So, so primarily Facebook. Just look up Damien J. Clark. You'll find me.
Yeah, and we do have your links posted on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk Damien, they can do it there. And, I found all your links. It's okay. I was stalking you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So again,
oh, and I have did you find my Weebly page?
You know, I didn't. I never looked for that one, to be honest. That's not one of the ones I look for, but now that you mention it, I'll have to start. No, I don't even really know what that page is, so, no.
It's just a free website to make small pages for stuff, so I went ahead and made one. It's DamianJClark.weebly.com. No, at Weebly.com.
Awesome.
Something like that.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you again for coming on short notice especially, and I can't wait to stalk you more so I can get you back on the show.
It's been
all
an absolute
thanks
pleasure.
A bunch for having me.
Thank
yes, you
drive,
too. It was nice meeting you.
Drive safely. And you, sir, drive safely.
I will.
Thank you.
Catch you later.
Good night,
bye-bye.
All.
Good night.
Bye.
I think that's the first time I've had someone who's been on the move, which is pretty awesome.
Right. You know, we
pretty
had
cool.
a guest. We had a guest one time that I swear he was. He said he had just moved. And I think he was unpacking while he did the show.
He was moving
like,
furniture. Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah,
that was pretty surreal.
Yes.
That was
to
pretty
be like,
surreal. But not somebody who was actually, and thankfully, he was hands-free and being sensible, which is great. So, no, absolutely fantastic. It was great to
yeah.
chat today. The reading was, I was blushing here, I have to say. I was blushing.
Some of the words you were reading, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that.
Well, I cut it there because there was a clitoris coming up, and I thought, I really,
oh.
you know, I'm going to struggle to get my tongue around that, I thought. So.
I think you would have done a marvelous job.
I think I'd have got my tongue around the clitoris very well, actually. So I just wanted to spare my own blushes. But anywho, do we have commercials?
I think we do. Yeah, let's see.
Oh, could we? Could you?
I think, yeah, I'm getting there. Jeez. Habon Books Publishing is pleased to announce the arrival of, another Taboo anthology, The Big Book of Bootleg Horror, Volume 2. And we also have Depraved Desires, Volume 2 out. It's an anthology of dark erotica and erotic horror compiled and edited by internationally best-selling author Bonnie Capps. And finally, we have Devils, Demons, and Denizens of Hell, and that was compiled and edited by P. Mattern, which we're big fans of hers. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to purchase these anthologies and more. And we also want to announce just letting everybody know we have our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read this summer, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. Woohoo.
Awesome. Well done. Well done, you. So, okay, look, we're going to have a wee break now, and then we'll be back with Becky the Reviewer and Greg Barth, and maybe even might have a brief India corner as well. So, because obviously she's been off school this week, and she's absolutely stir crazy, as you can imagine. But they've now had 12 weeks. Summer holiday, summer vacation. So you can imagine. You can imagine. But we will be straight back.
If you give me just a little while, I'll change each teardrop to a smile. He promised happiness, but he left you loneliness. What makes you hurt inside? Lost love or injured pride? Oh, little lonely one, now don't you cry. You'll forget him by and by. If you give me just a little while, drop to her smile. I know what you've been through. Your heart's been broken too. He kept you on a string while you gave your everything. Will be hard for me, to fight his ever-loving
memory,
but give me just a chance, and I'll bring true romance.
Part two.
Welcome back to part two. Indeed. And are you there, Xtina?
Hi.
Are you there? you've come back, have you? I didn't think you were. So, I've got something for you. Here we go. So, Xtina, you start of a 10. Name that tune.
That was mean. Name that tune.
Name
I have no idea.
Tune. This is a
no
new
idea.
Segment. This is a new tab. Let's bring Becky on. I bet Becky will know. Are you there, Becky?
Yes, sir, I am. And I do know.
Becky, can you pick that one? We'll throw it open to you. Can you name that tune?
Oh, yes. That's the beginning of Hellraiser.
It is indeed. It's the Hellraiser theme tune.
How was I supposed to know that?
Exactly.
I'm not seeing it.
Yes, I did it specifically to embarrass
you. You should know this.
Well,
she cannot
you should know this.
You know,
next week I'm going to put a Jaws theme tune on and see if she knows that one.
I actually heard that it's on Netflix, so I will have it watched. I will have it watched by the
you
time
have
to, I come
seriously,
back.
Bullshit
okay.
aside, it is
on
probably
okay,
one of the best horror movies ever made. I mean, it was just phenomenal. I actually saw it on VHS many when it came on VHS back in 88, I think it was. And I remember I sat and watched it and then rewound it. Remember those days? Rewound it and watched it straight again. And I've seen it dozens of times since.
Wow.
And it's just. Never gets old, and it is just
what if I get scared?
Phenomenal.
What if I get scared watching it?
Oh, grow up. Grow up. Goodness sake. Anywho, before thought before, Becky, we're going to have my favourite segment. And we've got a jingle for it, haven't we? Let's do the jingle. Oh, she's got a mouthful of Tim Tams at the moment. Do you know, you work with amateurs, this is what you get. This is what you get. Shoddy. Shoddy. Oh, she's got a swig of water. Do you know, you just can't get, you can't get the stuff. You really can't. So let's do the... Right, we're going to do the jingle.
The
right.
Girl needs their time.
Indie Corner. Indie Corner. Indie Corner. Right, India, so what have you got to say for yourself this evening when you should be in bed? I'll have a mother who'll kill me. Really. What have you got to say? What are you going to talk about this evening for a minute or two? What's been happening this week in the fantastic world of Houston?
The hurricane.
And what was the scary thing about the hurricane?
I think the scariest thing about the hurricane is like, when it just kept raining and raining and raining and raining and raining and raining.
And raining.
And raining.
Like, and raining.
The reason why that
was... It did rain. It 4 days solid, it rained. I mean, even for England's English standards, that's a lot of rain.
Yeah.
You need a boat.
I think that the...
There are people nearby who did need boats, yes. They were being rescued by boats.
I think the sirens going off would have been the scariest part for me. That definitely sounds like it would get to you.
Well,
yeah.
it was on the TV, and then you turn the TV off to try and sleep, and they were going off on your phone because I didn't want to not have them on because you know, they were kind of important.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
What was the best bit playing in the flooded street?
And my brother, Ollie, he. Well, I guess it's better than just him having to pull his pants.
Yeah, because what would have happened if he pulled his pants up too high? What would have fallen out?
His whatnot fell out.
Nobody wanted to... No, the little kiddies didn't need to see that, did they? Nobody should have
been. Oh, my.
Oh, no.
So, and you know, they said don't let the kids play because it's got sewage in there. I'll just let them play. Fuck it. And they were fine. Played it. It was good. But yeah, we're all well
out there in it with her.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. They had a great time. Then it started raining and we had to come in. It was just, we had a brief break for like half an hour.
There is one that I want, that I've been, like, holding in my system. It's when we had my dog Bailey before he passed. I'm getting ready to embarrass you.
She's going to embarrass me now. Come on.
Do it.
I love this part. Yes, embarrass him.
It's happening. Come on.
So it was a morning. We had an Indian Daddy sleepover, like you know, like we do. We love having Indian Daddy sleepovers, and
we watch scary films, Xtina, the ones that you're too frightened to watch. I think we might watch a Hellraiser actually one night. I think
Piranha.
Piranha. Right, go on, chop, come on.
And Bailey got so excited, and he jumped up and put his pants.
Yeah, the dog actually pantsed me. So I had my sleep shorts on, and literally I was stood there at the front door, bare ass naked, with the pants around my ankles, because the dog jumped on.
Oh my lord!
Well, we didn't have anybody telling us an embarrassing story tonight, so that would be in lieu of an embarrassing story. I love it.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Right.
I'm so lucky I was behind you.
Yeah, I'm glad she was behind me and not in front. That could be. I'm glad I wasn't on the door for anybody. We didn't ever got rid of them. So say goodbye to Xtina and Becky.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. That's it for Indie Corner.
Bye.
We're gonna we will record the jingle for the next time. Yeah. We'll record a jingle for you. Okay. Right. So over to Becky. What have you got for us this evening, Becky?
I don't think I can follow that.
Follow that.
Right?
Well, you've got to. You have to.
Crap. Okay. Oh, my Lord. I'm reviewing a book tonight that was co-written by Ralph James White and Matt Shaw. And this
awesome.
Is extreme horror. It is really good. Anybody that's ever read anything by Ralph knows that he is the master of extreme horror, in my opinion. And I know that you love it too, James.
He is. I'm a big, big fan of Ralph. Yes. Yeah, he's awesome.
I am too. He really, I mean, and then when you add Matt Shaw to the mix, I mean, you just can't lose. I mean, that's a combination
that just works together
so well.
Mm-hmm.
This book is, I highly recommend it. It's about a group of guys that are out on the prowl, and they're up to no good. And they pick the wrong woman to mess with.
Nice.
And oh yeah, she's a feminist. She's a she's a blogger.
That was supposed to was banned, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
they had a lot of problems with Amazon.
Yeah. We had Rath on right. I think either right before it was a release
banned,
or
yes.
right
yeah,
after.
Yeah, I think they managed to get it back on, but it was banned for a while, yeah.
They did. Amazon objected to the cover at first, and then I think it was the content.
Was the cover even bad? I don't remember it being bad, yeah.
It wasn't.
That's weird.
So they changed it
to
a black
Amazon
cover.
Amazon can
weird.
Be very, very odd. Some of the things that they... Yeah, yeah. Strange people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so they changed it to a black cover and tried to put it back on Amazon, and Amazon accepted it. And so now they've kind of slid it back under there with the original cover back on it as
nice.
Well. So I think they kind of worked around that Amazon crap that they always pull. But he had it on his website for sale, and he had it on Etsy and a couple other places, but if you haven't read it, you need to. James will love it. The beginning of it kind of sort of reminded me of Flanagan, kind of. So I was, I was really excited about that because I was like, ooh, let's see what these two guys do with, you know, kind of. So yeah, but I read this in one sitting.
Wow.
I did Flanagan, too. I couldn't put it down. it's really good. It's really, really good. I can't tell you a whole lot about the story. I don't want to ruin it. But let's
but
just say they get,
horror,
they get
right?
theirs. Oh, yeah. It's
oh,
really
yeah.
extreme. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready for extreme horror yet. I don't know.
You will like that. You will like it.
I think if you're going to read, there's extreme horror and there's extreme horror. And I think I've said this before. There are some authors out there who just go for. I mean, I've read some absolute bilge, to be honest with you, and it's just so obviously. There's let's see how much we can, you know, be unpleasant and that. But I know Matt, I'm not that familiar with, but I know Ralph. It's well written. I mean, it is extreme, and it will, and some of it will gross you out and make you cringe. But it's so bloody well written, you know, that
you
think he's not just doing it for the sake of it. It's a damn good story. It's very well written, and it works. But there's a lot of this so-called bizarro stuff and extreme stuff that is just for the sake of it, and it's just don't waste your money on that, people. But Ralph, I buy his books day after day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember his reading when he was on, and it was definitely really, really good writing. And I'm excited that I finally touched base with Matt Shaw, and he agreed to be on the show. So, woohoo!
Awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
Yay.
I know Matt's been very, very busy, so
that's
great.
Said,
yeah,
they're doing a movie. They're doing a movie, he and Michael Bray.
I understand so,
I've been working on it.
I can't wait for that.
Years,
That'll be amazing.
Well, thank you, Becky.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. We're going to bring...
You're welcome.
Gregor, thank you, and thank you for
thank you.
India's still, she's listening in. I don't know if that's healthy, but she is. She is, but thank you. Thank you, Becky, and we shall look forward to you next week.
Bye-bye.
India says bye-bye.
Bye, India. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
bye. Okay, bye-bye. See you later. Awesome. That was great. Yeah, that's going to be one for my reading list, definitely. Definitely. So, hey, without further ado, I'm going to bring Greg Barth on. Hopefully he's there, AT&T willing. Greg, are you there, sir?
I am here.
Hi.
Hey, fantastic.
Hi.
So there's always that couple of milliseconds delay when it's all crap they've gone, you know, AT&T. Because last week I had half the show where I couldn't contribute.
Which must have spoiled
the show totally. Although Expedia
spoiled the show?
Well,
I think it was
half
the
show with me not in it. Well, really?
No,
remember
no,
who's
I
got
missed
the dump
you so,
on me?
I missed you so
it just,
much. The
it
whole
just
time.
Went, and I don't know. Apparently, it does happen occasionally with the blog radio people, but in 50, for it to happen once in 57 shows is not too. But Xdina, you did a fine job. So, Greg, thank you
about
for joining
you.
Us, sir.
I was thinking about you the whole time, James.
What about me?
You were on.
About you too.
India got her bit. She got her bit. So. Right, Greg's here to talk to us about his book Everglade, the fifth and final book in the Selena series. So, Greg, over to you, sir. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, not a very exciting question to answer. Not a very exciting answer to the question.
Oh, so should I ask another question if you want?
Up,
not a problem.
Yeah, I grew up in Southwest Virginia, lived in Northeast Tennessee, Western North Carolina, and now in Bowling Green, Kentucky with my wife's son. We have a pet bird and a dog, and, you know, I'm just so boring. I think the most interesting thing I do really is write crime fiction and read. Not a very exciting life. I'd say my hobbies are listening to music and drinking on weekends.
Woohoo for the drinking.
That does not sound boring. That sounds like the perfect life. It really does. That is what I aspire to. So.
Depends on what kind of
that
music
awesome.
We're talking about, you know, or what we're drinking. There's all these different variables there.
Well, I've been listening in. This sounds like a fun show.
Mostly because Xtina's drunk through most of it, but she can identify with the drinking part naturally, you know. And
I got excited, when he said drinking, I was like,
"I'm drinking."
All
hello,
in.
Hello.
Well,
I
don't judge. So,
so it's the fifth and final book of the series. How long has it taken you to get to this point, Greg?
The first one was published in June of 2015. We've, all due respect, Books has put out the five between then, and Everglade was released on July 1st of this year, so right about 2 years.
Wow. Well, that's good going.
Yeah.
That is good going.
I don't know too much about it, and I would definitely like to hear more. Do you have a reading for us?
I do. I can kind of introduce the series a bit and then jump into that if that works.
Definitely.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah,
please do. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So with Everglade being the fifth and final book in the series, you know, when we first meet the character Selena in the first novel, you know, she's, when it comes to self-destructive lifestyle, she's got the whole set. She's alcoholic. She's a stripper. She's a prostitute. She's an addict. She's a cutter. She's bulimic. And, you know, she's a young woman who's barely surviving out there on the fringe of society. And if you, you know, asked her at that point in her life, she would actually say she was living the life she wanted and that she was happy for the most part. But basically she's self-medicating, you know, trying to put some demons to sleep that she's lived with her whole life. And in the first book, in the chapter one, there's a careless act of petty theft that puts her in the crosshairs of a local crime syndicate, and they, you know, beat her to within an inch of her life. And we're talking broken bones, we're talking skull fractures, reconstructive surgery, the, you know, the whole nine yards. And as she goes through an extensive recovery from this this beating, you know, she finds that all of the things that have helped her to cope with life, such as alcohol, drugs, those kinds of things, can't help her get through this. That the only thing that will help her carry on is if she gets revenge against these people who's done her wrong. And that kind of kicks off the series. When we get into Everglade, she's at a point in her life where her life of drugs, excess, and, you know, crime has significantly eroded her health, her relationships with the few people that care for her, and she's in a pretty bad place. And she makes basically a deliberate decision to, you know, to get out of the life that she's in. The problem is she's in a profession that you can't just walk away from, and she's developed some severely bad habits that are killing her pretty quick. So in this one, it's about her confronting her empty life and how she's going to get out. And fortunately for Selena, life has taught her a lot of dirty tricks, and she's not in the least bit reluctant to use them all.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'll jump in with Everglade Chapter 1.
Go for it.
Thanks. My soul struggled and kicked, fighting its way up from the black depths of unconsciousness. I drew breath. The air was cool and tinged with the scent of fresh-cut grass. Birds warbled, a shitload of birds, whistling and chirping like there was something worth celebrating. A woman spoke. I wasn't coherent enough to understand her words. A chilly breeze prickled the bare skin on my legs and stomach. I opened my eyes. Light and air stung them, but tears wouldn't form. The world in front of me was a dim blur, a mixture of grays and greens with no distinct shape. I was parched, my tongue pasted to the roof of my mouth. The smell, the sound, everything was somehow wrong. Where the fuck am I? My head throbbed, the pain driven by a jackhammer pulse. I'd felt this way before, many times. More talking. The woman's voice should have been recognizable, but I didn't even know who I was yet, let alone her. The world around me was shrouded in a painful, dry haze, and I couldn't make sense of anything. My head rested on a hard surface, my cheek pressed into grit. Her words pierced through the fog. You can't be showing that to everybody like this, the woman said. She tugged at my clothing. My dry lips peeled apart. Hey, I muttered. I tried to sit up. Couldn't get my tongue to work. I reached down and swatted at her hand, tried to push it away. The world took form around me as my vision cleared. I was outside, on the sidewalk, in front of my house. The grit I felt was the dirt and concrete under my cheek. I looked down. I was dressed in my bathrobe. I'd lost the belt, and the robe spread open from my lower stomach down. I was naked underneath. Pale, skinny legs, dark patch of hair at my crotch. Someone stood over me. I could make out pasty skin tones, a black T-shirt, a shock of platinum blonde hair. It was River. She was trying to close the robe around my middle. You got all the lady parts showing, she said. I pushed against the sidewalk and sat up. She helped me adjust the robe so I was not exposed. A bottle of rum sat tipped over on the sidewalk to one side of me. On the other side, a Smith & Wesson 38 caliber revolver glistened with dew in the grass. I reached for the rum. I unscrewed the cap and poured a little in my mouth to wash away the dryness. It tasted like the last thing in the world I needed. My stomach jerked in agreement. "Good morning," I said. "Let's get you inside." I held out my withered left hand, the palm curled inward, the fingers curled like into a claw. River took me by my wrist and elbow. I pushed with my other hand, got to one knee, and made it to my feet. My head swam. She helped me a few steps over to the large maple tree in the front yard. I put my hand against the trunk to steady myself. River grabbed the revolver and the bottle of rum from the ground. "Did you make the sidewalk your bed last night?" I think so, yeah." She came up close to my side, put an arm around my shoulder. We took slow steps as she helped me back to the house. I used the handrail to get up the stairs to the porch. I went over to the table near my deck chair. I grabbed my cigarettes, a bag of pot, a water pipe, a pink massager, the remnants of a solo party that never happened, and put them in my robe pockets. The front door stood open. I have a large mirror inside my foyer, and I caught my reflection on the way inside. The robe had fallen open again. I was pale, skinny, my eyes puffy and bloodshot. My dark hair was sticking up on top. Dirt clung to my cheek. The skin around my nostrils was flaky and inflamed. So much for Daddy's princess. We stopped at the kitchen long enough for me to get a glass of water. My hand trembled as I filled the glass. I propped against the counter and took slow sips to make sure I could keep it down. "I'm going to put you in the shower. I'll get the water going, make a pot of coffee while you're in there." She put the pistol and the bottle of rum on the breakfast table. Dot danced along the edges of my vision. My stomach flipped. I leaned over the sink and vomited into the stainless steel basin. I hadn't eaten anything, but I purged a good bit of brown liquid. I kept gagging and coughing, my stomach and throat clenched until all I could bring up was clear spit. I turned the water on, flipped the switch for the garbage disposal. I wiped at my nose and lips with the back of my trembling hand. I ran my fingers under the stream and splashed cool water on my face. "You want aspirin or anything?" River said from behind me. "I lauded," I said. "Not on an empty stomach. Besides, you need to wake up." "Coke then." I said the words, but I knew I'd never get any through my swollen nostrils. I've been cutting too much snow lately, mostly so I could drink longer without passing out. My sinuses were inflamed as a result. "How about we start with coffee and aspirin? You remember Bobby is coming by this morning, right?" I'd forgotten, but I'd be ready. I closed my eyes and nodded. "Great." She went down the hall. Shower started up, water beating against the vinyl curtain. I took small sips from the water glass until she returned. "Okay, just drop the robe there." I slipped out of it. Chill bumps sprang up along my arms and legs. "Paper towel," I said. "Wipe the dew off the 38. Don't want it to rust." "It's loaded?" "Yeah." She nodded and opened the cabinet where I kept the towel spooled on the inside door. "I'll take the bullets out, dry them off, run a swab through the barrel." "You weren't going to shoot yourself, were you?" "I don't remember, but I'm not a good shot with a pistol. If I was going to do that, I'd use the shotgun." I was able to walk down the hall by myself, but she followed behind me, her hand on my naked back. Steam greeted me at the bathroom door. River held my arm to steady me as I climbed into the tub. The hot water felt good against my cool skin. I closed my eyes, held my face under the stream. My nasal passages opened just a bit, and I breathed in the steam. What the fuck are you doing to yourself?
You're going to stop there.
Awesome.
That was awful.
Awesome.
That you stopped there. I was waiting.
We've all had mornings like that.
Yeah.
A few.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if I have, but that was really, really engaging. That was great. And this was the last in this series. What are you on to next? Do you have?
I've got a couple of things. I've recently just finished writing. It's a Western of sorts. It takes place in 1863 on the Missouri and Kansas border. Prior to the American Civil War, Missouri and Kansas were fighting each other for, you know, a good 5 or 6 years prior to the Civil War. And this book takes place on that border in that setting. The timing is not great because, one of the characters is kind of the outlaw Josie Wells type character, only she's a woman, she's 19 years old, and she's a Confederate pistol fighter. But in the last couple of weeks, anything to do with the Confederacy has not been very popular. So this thing might be dead on arrival. We'll see. We'll see. And then I'm working on kind of a standalone crime fiction book that takes place in 1992 in a small town, Johnson City, Tennessee. So
awesome.
Those are the next projects. Yeah.
I was wondering, writing a series with, you know, that you've been writing for quite a while, do you find it difficult to let go of your characters?
I do. I think that this particular character, Selena, I hear her voice so clearly. I could sit down and write a book about her tomorrow. It's not a series like, you know, like James Bond, where you have these episodic novels where they're self-contained. This was a series where it told basically one story. You couldn't read the books out of sequence. So it has a beginning, it has an end.
I would think I would be sad to let characters go. We're running out of time here, and I need to do 11 questions with you. Are you ready for 11 questions?
Let's go.
Okay, hold on. Gotta have the jingle.
And now, 11 questions.
Number one, what's your guilty pleasure?
I guess drinking.
You're right.
Nothing to be guilty about.
Baked beans, ranch style, or pork and beans?
Pork and beans.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of either, but that's the better choice there. Just because I didn't believe for the longest time that ranch style even existed.
I don't even know what that is. But
right?
You got a doctor
Nobody
up
else does
the
either.
Pork and
yeah,
beans, so.
I think it's
yeah.
just a Texas thing.
Could be.
Puppies or kittens?
Oh, gosh, kittens.
They have claws, though. Okay, what's your favorite
I know,
one?
Yeah.
Is that the good part, what's is my, claws? I mean, I
no, I'm just cognizant of the fact that we have a bird, we have a dog. You know, my wife and son are not fans of kittens, so we don't have any, but I like them.
Okay. What's your favorite lunch meat?
Turkey.
Oh, two turkeys in one night? What is
two.
This?
Wow. There you go.
Wow. Good thing they make plenty of it.
Right.
Yeah.
What was your first car?
It was a butterscotch.
Ooh.
Well, it was two-tone. It was butterscotch and rust. And it was a Datsun 5-speed. I have no idea what model it was. It was a piece of shit.
I love the color, though. I don't think I've ever heard anybody describe a color as butterscotch. That's cool. You're doing that thing, James. You're demonic right now. Let's see. What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
My most what?
What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Snakes.
Snakes? Really? No, spiders have the legs with the hair and their no, they're just bad.
They both want to kill us all, but only snakes make me scream uncontrollably.
Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Jason.
Good choice. And just, you know, the heck with these Pinhead people. They just won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
I can
not after the sixth one, though. Then I would have to go with Pinhead.
Yeah. First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Word processor.
Right. Favorite alcoholic drink? Rum. Are you going to say rum?
No, Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels on ice.
Ooh, good answer. One interesting non-writing related fact about you.
Interesting. I collect westerns from paperbacks from the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. I don't necessarily read a lot of them, but I just buy them.
Okay, that is interesting. You know, I never read them either. I'm a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. I am. I mean, like, mm-hmm. so much that it's geeky at times. But I used to collect the books. They had books that were written about this series, and I must have had, like, 100 of them at one time. Never opened a one, but I had them, and it's like I had to have them, too. It does become a crazy obsession. And here's our bonus question. Baseball or stamp collection?
Oh, gosh. Neither. I don't know anything about baseball. I used to collect stamps, if that counts.
We'll take that one for the stamp collection.
And one for baseball tonight. So it's split down the middle. I don't think we can call that. Yeah.
So if I'd been on earlier, I could have gotten all the questions in advance, right?
No. We never do that. No.
Well, I didn't judge you too harshly about any of your answers. Maybe I've just had too much to drink, and I really don't care, and that's why I'm not judging you. Either way, you won that round.
Yeah.
I was going to ask where we can find you online. Like, I think we have all your links up, but tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, so if you're looking for Selena on Amazon.com, if you go in and type Selena, you're going to find the finest Selena Gomez merchandise known to mankind. But if you want to find my Selena, it's best to search by Greg Barth. That'll get you in the right neighborhood. I'm on Facebook. I mean, I'm on and off. Sometimes I'm on, sometimes I'm off, but it's, I want to say it's Greg.Barth75 on Facebook. And then Twitter is, and I don't even pretend to know how to use Twitter. I've got one. It says I've sent like 289 tweets. I don't know if that's a lot or not. I've got 1,800 followers, but they won't do what I tell them, so I don't know that they're technically followers. But it's at GregBarth1 on Twitter. And if I ever figure out how to use it, then we'll do some damage.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'll write a tweet out, and then it's sort of I need to chop 2/3 of it off because it's over 140 characters. For God's sake.
Right.
Goodness sake.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I always think of William Faulkner. You know, William Faulkner had that line about I write so that I leave on the blank walls of oblivion the message Kilroy was here. So I think he might have been talking about Twitter. But then when I read Faulkner and I see how long his sentences are, there's no way he could be on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, we have all of your links up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk Greg, they can go there and find it. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And do you promise to come back and see us?
Absolutely. Would love to. This has been fun.
Good.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Next time we're going to have you on for the whole show. Yeah.
Yeah, I think of different questions, but yeah.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Speak to you soon.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Well, that's pretty much it. It is. It's flown by, I have to say.
We had a great show. Yeah.
It's that special time of the evening where it's time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight.
Are you lonely only 'cause there is nobody near? If someone new should kiss you, will your heartaches disappear? I love you so, and I've gotta know. Could somebody take my place tonight? Other arms enfold you in a warm embrace, and could two other lips get close enough to kiss your face? I love you so, I wanna know, could somebody take my place tonight? so long, I get to wondering, are you being true or have you found somebody new? Write me, call me, tell me that you're still in love with me. Let me know the worst if that's the way it's gotta be.
Tonight.